Chapter 2. Four Postures. For one entire night, Venerable Ananda practiced the four foundations of mindfulness. Because his mindfulness was pure, sharp, and powerful, he perceived that each part of his body, each tiny physical movement, feeling, perception, thought, and even consciousness itself, is impermanent, unsatisfactory, and selfless. At dawn, as he was beginning to lie down, he lifted his foot. In that instant, he reached enlightenment. Certainly when the mind is perfectly clear and mindfulness is strong, it is possible to attain enlightenment quickly, even while lifting a foot. We can develop mindfulness by paying complete attention to any part of the body. We have already seen how mindfulness of breathing helps us become more calm and peaceful, and gain valuable insights into the Buddha's message. The same applies to focusing on the body's positions and movements. In the Sutta on the Four Foundations of Mindfulness, the Buddha explains how mindfulness of four postures, sitting, standing, walking, and lying down, deepens our awareness. Most of the time we talk about sitting and walking meditation, but we do not talk very much about standing and lying down. Since all postures are equally important, the Buddha never fails to mention all four in his instructions on mindfulness practice. Venerable Ananda is not the only disciple of the Buddha to have achieved enlightenment through mindfulness of physical movements. Venerable Kakupala, another of the Buddha's followers, reached enlightenment while walking mindfully. I give complete instructions for walking as a mindfulness meditation later in this chapter. First, let's talk about mindfulness of sitting. Sitting. When we sit to meditate, we adopt a posture and then make a contour survey of the body, checking to see that the upper body, the part above the waist, is upright and straight. The body should be held in a relaxed way without being rigid. The hands are cupped with palms up and placed on the lap, right palm on the left, and the thumbs touching. The eyes are closed or left half open, especially if falling asleep is a problem. So which posture is best for sitting meditation? Full Lotus. In the introduction to the Four Foundations of Mindfulness Sutta, no posture is mentioned other than full lotus. In this position, both knees touch the floor, the legs are crossed at the calf. The left foot rests on the right thigh, and the right foot rests on the left thigh. The soles of both feet are turned upward like the petals of a lotus. When we sit correctly in this position, the body is very stable. The spine is straight and the lungs expand and contract smoothly. Blood circulation is good, at least in the upper part of the body. Normally, when the mind and body are relaxed, it is easy to fall asleep. But when we are sitting in full lotus, we fall asleep less often because the body remains securely upright. For many people, full lotus is not an easy position. But any skill we try to learn can be difficult at the beginning. For instance, we probably fell many times when we were learning to ride a bicycle. By repeating the same activity day after day, gradually we gain proficiency. To get used to sitting in full lotus, try holding the position for 1 minute a day for several days. Don't expect to sit without pain. After a few days, increase the time to a couple of minutes and continue to lengthen the time gradually day by day. Keep in mind that the posture won't be perfect immediately. For many years, I sat in the half lotus posture I will describe in a moment. When I was 65, one day I thought, let me try full lotus. I held the posture for only 5 minutes. It was really painful. I thought the blood circulation would be cut off in my legs and I would get gangrene, resulting in amputation. As soon as this thought arose in my mind, I changed my posture and sat in half lotus as usual. But the next day I tried again. This time I was able to sit for about 8 minutes before the pain started. After 10 minutes, the pain became unbearable. However, rather than changing my position immediately, I determined to sit a little longer. Although I had been sitting in half lotus for 45 years, within 3 weeks I could sit in full lotus for half an hour. Many healthy people can learn to sit in full lotus if they persist in their efforts, as I did. However, people with physical problems should not force themselves to sit in this posture. Half lotus. In this posture, both knees touch the floor. One leg lies flat on the floor from knee to foot. The foot of the other leg rests on top of the opposite thigh, with the sole turned upward. Many people can develop proficiency with the half lotus by the same gradual process I have described. Burmese posture. In this posture, both legs lie flat on the floor from knee to foot. The lower legs are parallel, with one leg placed in front of the other and feet uncrossed. This posture is reasonably comfortable. Most people can learn to sit in this position without too much difficulty. Easy style. The right foot is tucked under the left knee, and the left foot is tucked under the right knee. Many people can sit in this position for some time. Using a meditation bench. If none of these postures are comfortable, it is also possible to kneel on a meditation bench. The feet are tucked under the bench and the knees are on the floor. The bench goes across your shins, enabling you to sit comfortably in a kneeling posture without putting pressure on your feet. Sitting in a chair. Some people find it impossible to sit comfortably in any of these postures. They may sit on a chair, placing the feet flat on the floor close to each other. In this posture, the back should be straight and not leaning against the back support of the chair. Mindfulness of sitting. As we sit, we become aware of the feeling of the posture we have chosen and that the feeling changes over time. Changes actually begin the moment the body makes contact with the cushion, bench, or chair. When the body touches anything, we feel the touching. In that touch, we notice the hardness or softness of the seat. Hardness and softness are characteristics of the earth element. The feeling that arises from contact with the seat is generally pleasant at first, but as it continues, the feeling often changes from pleasant to neutral to unpleasant or even painful. We observe this. Then we notice that nobody is controlling these changes. They happen by themselves. The mind wants to remain calm and peaceful, experiencing the progress of our meditation. In spite of this wish, the feeling of the posture changes. Paying attention to these changes reminds us that the four elements are impermanent, as are our feelings and perceptions. After we sit for a while, we feel the heat of our buttocks or thighs. As the heat radiates, the seat becomes warm. Soon the heat from our body and the heat from the seat make the whole body feel warm. Experiencing this, we are mindful of the heat element. On hot days, we may perspire. Sweat arises from the body's water element, so we are mindful of this element. We also experience movements associated with the breathing cycle, such as the rising and falling of the abdomen and chest. Sometimes we feel intestinal gas. These movements make us mindful of the air element. To maintain whatever sitting posture we have adopted, we use mental energy that arises naturally from our knowledge that things are always changing. If this energy stops, we slouch, fall asleep, or lose our balance. As we watch these changes, we try not to become upset or disappointed. For instance, we avoid the thoughts, "How can I meditate when I'm in pain?" and "I'll never be able to sit in full lotus." We are also mindful of the five aggregates. The body is the form aggregate. The sensations that arise due to contact with the seat belong to the feeling aggregate. Our minds register changes that are occurring due to the perception aggregate. The thoughts that arise regarding our sitting, body, contact, feelings, and perceptions come from the thought aggregate, as does our attention to what is taking place. We become aware of all these occurrences because of the consciousness aggregate. We also become aware of the five aggregates cooperating with one another. When our posture changes, Our feelings, perceptions, thoughts, and consciousness also change. No permanently existing entity causes these changes to happen. The aggregates change depending on each other, not independently or because I have caused the changes to happen. The mind does not need to keep observing one object to see the completion of the three steps of change: rising moment, peak moment, and passing away moment. Mindfulness and concentration, working together, can notice countless changes taking place simultaneously. Deep mindfulness sheds light on the unmistaken nature of these changes. Sitting postures are best for gaining this insight. Standing. We can continue our meditation in a standing posture. Mindfully and slowly, we get up from sitting. We notice that mental activity generates sufficient physical energy to lift the body from its sitting position. Standing, we relax our body and hands. The body is straight, the feet are parallel, and the spinal column is upright, just as it was when we were sitting. We breathe mindfully. We pay attention to the feeling of the posture and to the contact between the feet and the floor. We do not allow the body to sway. We have relaxed awareness of our breath, feelings, and consciousness. We notice how the feeling of the standing position changes from comfortable to neutral and then to uncomfortable. We notice our changing perception of these feelings. When thoughts arise regarding the body, feelings, and perceptions, we notice them with attention, which is also a thought. We notice how the thoughts change. We are mindful of our conscious awareness of these changes. Thus, while standing, we are aware of the five aggregates and their changes. We are aware that whatever we are experiencing is impermanent, unsatisfactory, and selfless. Our awareness of these factors reminds us that this is not mine, this is not I, this is not myself. Here, this means whatever we are experiencing at the moment. We realize that it is neither some special being inside us nor some external being that does the standing. Rather, standing takes place dependent on various causes and conditions. One of these is our intention to stand up and remain standing. Intention is also caused by something else. Previously, the sitting posture became uncomfortable. In order to relieve this discomfort, a desire arose for us to stand up. Energy is necessary to keep the body in a standing position. When our energy is low, we cannot remain standing, as we have all experienced. The mind generates energy through intention. That energy is an aspect of the air element created by our mental activities. We also become aware of the air element through our breath going in and out. We are mindful of the other elements as well. The bones and muscles holding us upright belong to the earth element. We also experience the earth element in the touch of our feet on the floor. When we stand in a particular place for a few minutes, friction between the feet and the floor causes that spot to become warm, and we feel the heat element under our feet. We feel the water element there too, in the form of perspiration. Thus, all four elements are working together smoothly and dependently. At the same time, we have to remain alert and not fall asleep. Although we can stand habitually, if we are mindful, we become aware of everything that is involved in standing. This awareness is what the Buddha means when he says, "When standing, understand standing." Although even children and animals know how to stand, they do not understand fully what is taking place. We stand for maybe 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, or as long as we feel comfortable in this position. We stand up while breathing. While we are standing, we are breathing. We never stop noticing the breath. Walking. From the standing posture, if we choose, we can begin walking meditation. Mindfulness helps us notice that walking is really a sequence of 9 actions. 1. We begin by standing for a couple of minutes, relaxing the hands and body and focusing on our breathing. 2. We lift the heel of one foot, let's say the left foot. 3. We rest the left foot on its toes. We are mindful of the contact of the toes with the floor and the feeling arising from that contact. We notice how the feeling changes as the contact changes. 4. We lift the left foot. 5. We move the left foot forward. We notice that the feeling we had while standing is no longer there when we lift the heel of the left foot. Likewise, the feeling that we had while lifting the heel is no longer there when we rest the left foot on its toes. Now new feelings arise as we lift the whole foot and move it forward. The thoughts, this is the foot, this is the movement, this is the forward motion, this is the change, arise, remain briefly, and pass away. Until the left foot is placed on the floor and firmly settled, we balance the body on the right foot. If we become unmindful, we lose the balance. 6. The forward motion of the left foot stops. 7. We lower the left foot. 8. We touch the left foot to the ground. 9. Finally, we press the left foot against the ground. 10. Then the cycle of movements, feelings, perceptions, and thoughts begins again with the other foot. In order to notice these tiny changes, we need to walk slowly. When our movements are deliberate and unhurried, we can observe each aspect of walking in detail. Walking slowly is like a slow-motion replay at a football game. Though the spectators might not see a penalty take place on the field because the players are moving too quickly, watching the replay slows down the action and allows the referee to make the correct call. In the same way, when we walk at our usual rapid pace, it's hard to observe what's really happening. Slow and mindful walking gives the mind the opportunity to become aware of each small change in the body's position and in the other aggregates that alter as a result. It's relatively easier to notice these differences while we are sitting because the body is not moving. Only through mindful attention can we notice that every time we move a foot forward, new contact, feeling, thought, perception, and attention arise, and old contact, feeling, thought, perception, and attention pass away. We may not be aware of all these things when we first start to practice walking meditation, but with gradual training, we are able to see at least some of the things that are taking place. Mindfulness of walking. We walk slowly not only so that we can observe the details of the movements, but also so that we can watch what is going on in our minds. The purpose of walking meditation is not training the body, but rather, through using the physical activity of walking, to train the mind. For this reason, though we are mindful of each movement as we walk, we do not verbalize silently what we are observing. Words come between our mental awareness and what is happening. Moreover, too many things are happening simultaneously to name them, and some of these things are so subtle that we will not find words for them, or we may be noticing things for the first time. For instance, though we observe the movements of our feet, we don't have to say left, right, left, right, as if we were marching in the army, nor should we say lifting, lifting, lifting when we lift each foot. We simply become aware of these movements directly, without words. The same is true of changes taking place in our feelings, perceptions, thoughts, and consciousness. We notice these without saying, changing, changing, changing. When unintentional bodily activities flow smoothly, the mind is trained to be patient and develops deeper mindfulness. However, we may need to verbalize some thoughts and emotions, especially those that distract us from focusing on what is happening. If a thought or emotion such as greed, anger, delusion, jealousy, fear, or worry arises, we use mindfulness to remove it as quickly as possible. For instance, if anger arises, we pay attention to it. But if the anger does not pass away by itself, we think in words to try to discover the cause of the anger. It is like having a silent conversation. Because we are mindful, we are careful not to blame anybody, neither ourselves nor someone else. While we are walking, we are also mindful of our breathing. Coordinating the breath with the movement of the feet is possible only when we do not verbalize each event. With attention, we notice that the breath is flowing in and out, and the feet are moving at the same time. I will give detailed instructions for practicing walking meditation coordinated with the breath. What we learn. It's amazing how many activities of the body and mind we can train ourselves to notice while doing something we usually take for granted, like walking. These activities never stop. They have been going on and changing continually since the moment we were conceived. Observing the tiny changes that take place during each step helps us become aware that the body, the mind, and everything else is inescapably impermanent. We also see that walking is an interdependently arising action that is made up of many other interdependent actions and events. At the speed of lightning, the intention to walk arises. Along with the intention, the heel lifts. The movement of the foot takes place so quickly that if we don't pay close attention, we nearly miss it. So we become aware that intention and attention seem to happen simultaneously. Similarly, it is hard to notice intention apart from physical movements, such as lifting the heel. It all takes place so quickly, like the light that turns on when we flip the switch. However, with attention, we can learn to see the difference between the intention and the action that results. Very slowly, very mindfully, we notice the intention to breathe in, the intention to breathe out, the intention to lift one foot, the intention to move it forward, and so on. Since the mind is fully occupied by observing all this, it does not wander. When we are mindful of walking as it actually is, it is also easier to understand that it is not a self or soul that does the walking. All of this activity has not been made possible by some permanent being inside us. It arises interdependently because of causes and conditions, which we can train ourselves to notice. Key points for walking meditation. Though you can practice walking meditation anywhere, a private place is best. Make sure there is enough space for you to walk at least 5 to 10 paces in a straight line, though this is the bare minimum distance. Ideally, the walking distance should be much longer. Some meditation centers have 30-foot-long walking paths. Begin in the standing posture. Focus on your breathing. Inhale and lift the heel of one foot. Exhale and rest that foot on its toes. Inhale as you lift that foot and move it forward. Exhale as you bring that foot down and touch the floor. Repeat this sequence with the other foot. After 5 to 10 paces, rest in standing posture for 1 minute, turn around, stand again for another minute, and repeat the sequence to walk back to where you started. As you walk, keep your head up and your neck relaxed. Walk slowly and naturally. Keep your eyes open to maintain balance, but avoid looking at anything in particular. Strive to be mindful of as many of the changes taking place in your body and mind as you can. Once you have grasped the technique of slow walking, you can speed up slightly, but don't walk too quickly. A good pace is 1 inhalation and 1 exhalation per step. Inhale while lifting the heel of one foot, resting it on its toes, lifting the whole foot and moving it forward. Then stop. While exhaling, lower the foot, touch the floor, and press it against the floor. Again, stop. Repeat the sequence with the other foot. After a while, the breath and the movement of the feet become almost automatic. Lying down. When the body and mind are relaxed, as they are during sitting meditation, it's easy to fall asleep. Imagine how easy it is to fall asleep while meditating in a lying down posture. Nevertheless, I recommend this posture in a few circumstances. Most obviously, people who are so sick that they cannot sit up without pain can lie on their backs, with arms and legs extended, and meditate using the breath as the primary focus. The lying down posture can also be helpful for people who can't sleep because of a sinus condition or other painful problem. They may find relief by lying on their backs and meditating on how uncomfortable sensations they are experiencing arise, remain, and pass away. While focusing on the impermanence of the sensations, they should take care to avoid feelings of resentment or depression. I have suffered from difficulty sleeping because of sinus problems for many years. I lie on my back and meditate on the impermanence of the feelings. In 10 or 15 minutes, I fall asleep. Finally, even people with no physical problems can benefit from practicing mindfulness meditation on the breath while lying down in bed before going to sleep. As is important in all postures, while lying down, we understand that we are lying down. We remember that there has been an intention to lie down, and that the mind has generated the energy to do so. We are aware of the earth element in the contact between the body and the bed, the heat element that arises, as well as the water and air elements. While lying down, as in every posture we have discussed, we use attention to build awareness that the five aggregates are impermanent, unsatisfactory, and selfless. We use mindfulness of everything that is taking place as a buffer against anger, resentment, lust, jealousy, fear, tension, and every other unwholesome thought and emotion. Of course, it's not easy to maintain clear awareness of lying down for very long, because this is the posture that we use most of the time to go to sleep. But until we fall asleep, we can remain mindful. And like Ananda and many other followers of the Buddha, we can strive in every posture to have mindfulness that is so pure, sharp, and powerful that we progress toward liberation.